Welcome to the Holistic Horse Podcast. My name is Kira Burns, and today I thought I would talk about rider biomechanics because, you know, it seems to be a really popular topic in the last few years, and I think there are so many different ways of going about it that it's probably worth talking about. I also think it's just become a bit of a buzzword, and as soon as that happens, sometimes we lose some of the meaning around it. We lose some of the understanding with it. And if you're anything like me, once it becomes a buzzword, it feels just like a passing fad or something like that, which my inner rebel just kind of refuses to get on board with. And so the reason I want to talk about it is because I actually think it is important. And I mean, clearly I did my Masters of Research thesis on rider biomechanics, so clearly I think it's quite important. But I think it is important. And I think it's important that we understand the aim of it, and also that we understand some of the pitfalls when it comes to working on our biomechanics, because I think there are a few pitfalls. And it makes me a little bit sad when I hear people say that they've, you know, been working on this particular thing and they've fallen into these holes or these pitfalls. And so I think it's worth talking about. So to start off with, rider biomechanics is basically just doing the work to optimize the way we use our body for the sake of riding. That's it. That's really it. It's how can we most effectively use our body to ride. So usually that's a case of how can we be as balanced and effective and soft but also strong, and how can we, with our body, give our horses the freedom and the best ability to do the work that we're asking them to do. And how can we make their job really easy by, you know, kind of getting out of their way and also being able to give really clear but concise instructions with our body so that we're not throwing the horse off balance by using big aids, so that we're super clear and they can do their job, and also so that we're balanced enough that we can really follow the movement and be very connected. So to me, that's what rider biomechanics is about. And it can, in my opinion, be improved by doing work both on the horse but also off the horse. And I'm going to pause here and say that my preference is actually doing the work off the horse, at least to start with. And the reason for that is that to improve any movement pattern, to improve stability, to improve balance, to improve anything like that, we need to actually build new neural pathways. And neural pathways are best built when we are doing things slowly in small movements that are doable, and also when we're relaxed. And there has been enough research over the years that says that even when we feel relaxed on our horse, our body is actually having a stress response. There is actually cortisol, there's actually an increased heart rate, etc. We are in some level of stress response the moment we sit on a horse, whether we feel stressed or not. And so when it comes then to learning new things, it tends to be harder, and particularly if we're trying to build a new neural pathway. And so some of you might have experienced this. I certainly have, where it's, you know, my coach has tried to explain something to me or ask me to do something, and I can remember sitting there kind of going like, I swear I'm a smart person, and or I swear, you know, I swear I can move my left arm where I want to, but it just won't go there right at this moment. And we literally lose IQ points when we sit on a horse. We are, due to stress, we actually lose some of our cognitive abilities, but we also lose access to neural pathways. And so the way that I explain this is that you might have neural pathways for 100 different ways that you can run. You know, you could do 4-foot running, you can do, you know, knee-high running, you can sprint, you can jog, you can do whatever. There might be 100 different ways that you can run. But if you were under threat and being, I don't know, chased by a lion or something like that, you're just going to run. and the way that you run is going to be your top neural pathway, your most used, your most accessible neural pathway. You're not going to be there being like, maybe I should try some 4-foot running as I, you know, get away from this tiger. It's not going to happen. And so literally the way that I explain it is, as we increase stress, we lose access to those lower neural pathways. So those lower ones are either the ones that are newer, they're not so accessible, they're not so practiced. We have to think about them a bit more. They're just, yeah, they're not as accessible. They're not those, you know, neural highways almost. And so the way I explain it is that, you know, if you're on the ground, you might have 100 different ways of doing this particular thing. But when you're on the horse, you might only have access to 3 just because of that stress. And so my aim is to build those new neural pathways on the ground and build them strong enough that they're then accessible when we are on the horse, so that even when we're stressed, we can still actually move our body in that particular way that we've been training to. Hopefully that makes some sense. And so, yes, I think it can be done on the horse, but I actually personally, for me, believe that the majority of the work is best done off the horse, with the remainder of it done on the horse, just to integrate those neural pathways into our actual riding. The other advantage I think with that is that you can simply work on it for 5 minutes a day. It's something you can actually work on, you know, while you're at work or while you're sitting in traffic or while you're doing other things. It doesn't have to take a long time. You don't even have to be with your horse. And so for, you know, those who are on the east coast of Australia, particularly in New South Wales, and having a whole lot of rain and it being impossible to ride, it's great because we can do it when we're not on the horse. So it doesn't matter how much it rains, you can do that sort of work in your living area. And I think that that's really beneficial. And I think it's really nice to think, okay, well, I can still work on things that do genuinely improve my riding even when I'm not on the horse. So that's my personal opinion. I'm open to other ways. I'm not saying that any way is wrong or better or anything like that. That's just my personal opinion and my reasoning for it. The pitfall that I see with some of the biomechanics training is either that it's done on the horse and the people go to a clinic or a workshop or something like that, and they have an amazing time and their horse goes great and that's all good. And then they come back and they say that they weren't able to recreate that again in their own ride the next day, that maybe they needed this particular tool that the person used, a particular strap or ball or their particular instruction or something like that. And so they weren't really able to reproduce their result. That's one problem that I see. The other problem that I have seen is people saying, oh, well, you know, they said that because I have, I don't know, for instance, this restriction in my left hip, that's why I can't get my horse to canter. And I struggle with that because I struggle with it because I don't like the word can't, but we'll get to that in a different episode. But I also struggle with it because if that was the truth, if, you know, a mild to even moderate restriction in your left hip was the reason why you truly can't get canter, part of me kind of goes, well, how have you managed to stumble upon it all these other times? Because, you know, there's very few people I've met who have literally never achieved that particular lead in canter. You know, it might not be easy for them and they might, you know, get the other lead more often than they'd like. But I know very few people who have literally never managed to pick up the correct lead in canter. So that's one. I don't really believe in the can't thing. Two is, if that's true, well, you know, what are you going to do? You're just going to walk and trot for the rest of your life? Like, you're just going to, you know, you may as well just give up. If that's true, that you really, truly, because of this restriction in your body, you can't get that particular thing, well, that doesn't help. There's no way forward from there. That's the end of the road, really. The other issue that I have with it is that someone says this to me and instantly my mind is filled with images of para riders, people at Riding for the Disabled, people who have no legs and can pick up canter, people who have absolutely no use of either legs and can pick up cant, to people who have no use of arms, legs, who have, you know, really severe scoliosis, whatever. And they can manage to walk and trot and canter. And, you know, not all of them, I'm not saying, but a lot of them can manage to do that. And so I just don't buy it, really. And I think that it's upsetting if that's the message that people are getting about rider biomechanics, that it's, you know, if your body isn't perfectly symmetrical and amazing, then you just can't do any better. And I think that's really upsetting. And I also, like, it's just, it's plain untrue. And the upsetting part as well is that nobody's body is completely symmetrical. We're not completely symmetrical beings any more than our horses are completely symmetrical. Just the fact that we are right and left-handed says that we're not completely symmetrical. And also, you know, as incredible as our bodies are and as incredible as, you know, life itself is, it's not a perfectly symmetrical system. And even if it was, even if you were born completely symmetrical, at some point over the years, particularly if you've had horses, you're going to have had an injury or something like that that's going to affect that symmetry. You're going to have compensation patterns. You're going to have scar tissue. You're going to have restrictions, whatever. Nobody's symmetrical. Nobody's perfect. And so I find it really upsetting getting into this, oh, well, this isn't absolutely perfect, so therefore I can't. Blah, blah, blah. So yeah, that's why I find it really upsetting. Where I think it's really good is that it is, like I said, it's something that we can do, you know, without the horse there. I think it's really good that it actually improves our horse's ability to do their job, because yeah, they didn't wake up this morning wanting to be ridden. And so I think there's a value to us making their job as easy as possible, given that we are the ones asking them to do that job. I think there's that. I also think that it's great because it's actually, you know, the stuff that makes us better at riding is usually just better for our body in general. So I've found that, you know, a lot of the exercises and stretches that I work with people are also really great for minimizing back pain, or also great for improving that hip mobility or shoulder stability or whatever. They just also happen to help with riding. And so I find that really useful. I really like that. So for me personally, I mean, for my research, what I did was create a 5-week rider biomechanics program, and it was all exercises and stretches done off the horse that were designed specifically to improve particular outcomes on the horse. And for those of you who are into the research type thing, it was a pilot study, so it was a small sample size, but we had all the participants ride a novice level dressage test in front of a judge. After their test, they had to score themselves according to how balanced they felt on the horse and how effective they felt in terms of their aids. And they were also obviously given a score from our judge. They then did the 5-week program, and then they rode that same dressage test again in front of that same judge at the same property, minimizing variables. And they again did a self-scoring of how balanced they felt, how effective they felt that their aids were, and they also received a score from the judge. And the really exciting part, as much as it was a pilot study and it was a very small sample size, was that the group showed significant improvements in all of these outcomes after the 5 weeks. And that was true whether or not they did the homework, whether or not they actually practiced those exercises in between the weekly classes, or whether they just turned up to the weekly classes. Although the ones who practiced it did score better and did improve their scores more. But it was exciting to see that that actually happened. And so for me, I mean, that's one way that we can do it. We can also come up with personalized things. We could then add it on to work on the actual horse. We can obviously also improve the horse's biomechanics and things like that. And so there's a million other things that we can do for it. But to me, that was just such a great example and such an interesting one to show that we can actually have a significant change just by doing very simple, very quick exercises off the horse. And that's it. That's all it took. And it actually made a significant difference. And bearing in mind that this was with people who weren't symmetrical, who had old injuries, who had, you know, restrictions or weaknesses or whatever. They were not, you know, beautiful, perfect, symmetrical specimens. They were different ages, different levels of experience, different whatever. There was a whole variety of different body types, everything like that. And so it was really great to see that. And it was really great to see that because it kind of reinforced my idea, or my knowing, that we don't have to have the perfect symmetrical body in order to improve the outcomes we can have when we're riding. And also that we don't have to just have a weekly lesson to improve our riding. We can actually do it just by, without changing anything else in our program, just by doing these exercises. And I think that's really great. And it's something that I'm hoping will actually stick around. I know it's a bit of a buzzword the last few years, but I'm hoping that it actually just becomes a normal part of what we do as riders. So thank you for listening. I hope you maybe found that interesting. Hopefully you found it a little bit empowering if you're someone who does have, you know, a restriction or physical limitation or whatever, to remind yourself that actually there's no reason why you can't improve your rider biomechanics, and there's no reason why you can't have your body worked as optimally as possible and have equally good outcomes as anyone else who maybe is more symmetrical, because I think that's highly possible through the use of rider biomechanics. If this is something that's interested you, for those who don't know, I've been running some 6-week online programs live on Zoom, and we have gone through equine biomechanics, so improving posture and movement in horses. And at the moment I'm doing one on connection and communication, so helping people better understand, communicate with, and connect with their horses for better outcomes. But the next one that's going to be coming up, which is in 2.5 weeks, I think, is going to be on rider biomechanics. So it's going to be based loosely on the program that I designed for my research thesis, but I have updated it and I've changed it since then to be a bit more comprehensive, and to also, I just, you know, just improve it, I think, after working with it for a few years. And so the way that you can, if you, that's something that you're interested in, the way that you can join that is it's 6 live Zoom calls, one per week on a Tuesday evening. They're all recorded. They also have a PDF that accompanies them so that you can work through the exercises during the week. And the way that you can now sign up for these, previously I've had people sign up individually for the programs, but I think to simplify it, it's now going to be a subscription type thing. So it's $30 a month. You can cancel any time, obviously, and you have access to the past programs as well. So the equine biomechanics program, as well as this connection and communication program, will be going up on there, as well as some others. So I've thrown in a 30-day motivation challenge. And then this rider biomechanics one that's coming up. I also have a few in the works from other people. So I'm trying to bring in other amazing people with different skill sets so that they can deliver the 6-week program, their own 6-week program as well, sort of like their own masterclass. And then that will be available on there too. But yeah, I mean, feasibly, you could literally do 2 months, do the 6-week program and only pay $60 for it. So that's amazing. Or if you wanted to keep going and learn some more, if you wanted to do the past ones as well, that's also up there. And to me, that was just easier in terms of logistics, because having it individual and run over email is just a little bit complicated for my poor brain to manage. And also meant that, you know, people had to choose one or the other, whereas this way you can have access to any or all of the programs anytime that you want. You can work through them at your own pace. You can join the live calls if you want to. And I'm going to be adding some extra stuff, which I'm super excited about, including those other people adding their programs, but also maybe like one-off masterclasses. I have something that I'm doing coming up about retraining racehorses. And so there's going to be an aspect of that on there. Also equine palliative care is something that I'm going to go into in a future thing that won't be a 6-week program, but that will also be on there, at least in part. So yeah, all different things, all aspects. So I will drop the link to that in the show notes if that's something that you're interested in. So like I said, it's $30 a month. It's like less than $1 a day, really. And yeah, I'm going to keep adding to it and I'm super excited about it. And if you have any requests for future topics, if you would like to either, well, I mean, future topics for the podcast, obviously, but also if you have any future topics for, I don't know, programs and things like that, what would you like to learn about? If it's something that, whether it's something that I cover, or whether it's something from someone else where I can get someone else in and they can do a program on it, because, you know, we can't know everything, and it's, you know, I would love to also support some other professionals and other people in the horse industry so that they can really share their knowledge and it can be a bit of a platform for them. So anyway, I'd love your thoughts on that. As usual, if you want to follow my work, I'm at Synergy and Freedom on Facebook and Instagram. And yeah, if you want to have a look at that, it's called The Holistic Horse, originally named. And I will drop the link in the show notes, but it's basically www.patreon.com/synergyandfreedom, and you'll find The Holistic Horse as an option on there. I have a couple of other things on there, but you'll find The Holistic Horse there. I hope you have a lovely day and a lovely week.